Just so happens this morning that I get the privilege to preach in a context of out of the book of Exodus, and it's an account that happened just prior to the exodus of Israel out of captivity in Egypt. I'm going to look at just something of an encounter that Moses has with God, an encounter in the context of the burning bush moment. We're going to personalize it for ourselves. And so we're going to pick up the story. The context is Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. And Moses is hiding from God. He's in the wilderness, has been there for 40 years, hiding from God. And God appears to him in the burning bush. There's a moment he has this incredible encounter with God. I think he's been hiding for 40 years, hoping nobody would find him. Now we know why he fled into the desert, into the wilderness. Because he killed this Egyptian that was mistreating a Hebrew. And so he thinks that nobody saw. He did this on the sly, but God saw. Anyway, he fears for his life, and he runs into the wilderness, and he's hiding there in the desert. For 40 years, he's living the life of a shepherd, hiding, living with this fear. One day I'm going to be found out. Well, the one day it happens. The one day God appears to him in this burning bush moment. And you'll recall that God speaks to him out of this burning bush opportunity. He finds him in the desert. He finds him in his fear. He finds him in his hiding. And he speaks to him about a call to deliver Israel, who have been in captivity 400 years to Egyptian bondage. And so God speaks to him. He gives him a call. It's very interesting that in this encounter that he has with God, what God instructs him to do. He says to Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you are standing upon is holy. It's holy ground. Take off your shoes. So some theologians assume that God is saying, actually, you're in the presence of a holy, righteous God, but there's also an assumption made that you can't run anymore. Without your shoes, you're not going to get too far in the desert. Take your shoes off. In fact, your time for running and your time for hiding is now over. I've got your number. You've been hiding for 40 years. Now's the moment I'm going to deal with you, and you and I are going to do business. And you're not going to run from me, and you're not going to run from my call any longer. So maybe this morning, there might be folks sitting here who have been doing some running, in inverted commas, from God. And I trust that through this word this morning, that the Holy Spirit's going to work with our hearts. I trust through this word this morning that this word's going to impact our lives, and it's going to arrest us. And in a moment, we're going to have an encounter with God that's going to change our hearts and set us up for a walk with Him going onwards, where we don't need to live on the back foot. Amen. So in the presence of a holy God, God says, stop running. Cannot hide, Moses. You cannot hide forever. And maybe this morning, that's the first thing we can note for ourselves, is that we can try to run, we can try to hide, but we can't run and hide forever. God has got our number. There's going to be some moment in that running, in that hiding, that God's going to arrest us, and we're going to encounter Him, and He's going to speak to us and challenge our hearts. And so we see this holy, righteous God speak to Moses, who has been hiding for 40 years, living with guilt, living with shame, living with fear. We see this holy, righteous God also extend a hand of grace to him. Amazing. Extends a hand of grace to Moses. Says, Moses, actually, it's time to wake up, bud. Let's do business. I'm going to change your life now. And so he gives him this call to go and set my people free. And so it's very interesting that the fear that drove Moses into the wilderness is this fear that manifests again. And we read in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, when God speaks to him, says, go and set my people free. This is what Moses answered. He says, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? So straight away, this fear that he's been living with is manifesting again. Well, what if the people won't believe me? What if the people won't see you in me? And so his response is one of self-disqualification. He says, I can't do it. And I think at times we can identify with Moses in the context of our walk with God the Father. I think we wear his shoes at times. And we try to run and we try to hide from God. We run and hide from His call upon our life. And we disqualify ourselves. Well, how can God use me? You know what kind of a person I am? You know the things that I've done? Moses lived with that for 40 years in the wilderness. We offer up all the excuses. We feel inadequate, too bad a person. Maybe we feel unimportant or insignificant. How can God use someone like me? Maybe we think we are underqualified or unprepared. You know, God works with people just like that. He took this man, Moses, who in anger, I don't think it was even a righteous anger, it was just anger, killed a person. He was a murderer. And he finds him in his place of hiding. He says, actually, Moses, I'm wanting to use you. That situation I'm going to redeem for my glory. And you're going to be part of my purpose to touch this world with my power. That's a gracious hand of God extended to a man who was not deserving. It was a man that disqualified himself. It was a man that lived with the guilt and the shame of what he has done. And in an instant, in a moment, meeting with God, a heart is changed. Set back on the path of serving God and God's purposes and God's call. You know, God didn't find Moses when he had it all together. He wasn't at the cutting edge of God's purposes. He was hiding in a desert. And maybe this morning you might not feel I'm at the cutting edge of God's purposes and plan for my life. And you're just getting by day, you're at the place where God wants to meet with you right now. Right now. Are we open to it? Yeah, he was looking after animals, leading an ordinary life, doing ordinary things. It's interesting, when God speaks to him, he says to him, Moses, you know, you're going to be my representative before Pharaoh. You're going to do amazing supernatural things. So and Moses offers up all of these excuses why he can't do it. And then God says to him, Moses, what's in your hand? Exodus chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? So now Moses is holding a stick, a staff. He uses that to shepherd the animals that he looked after. A staff, he replied. The Lord said to him, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And again, fear manifests and he runs from it. This stick that Moses was holding, this common inanimate object, is transformed. It becomes something supernatural when it is placed in God's hands. And so Moses is obedient. He takes that staff, he throws it on the ground, it becomes a snake. Verse 4, very, very key of Exodus chapter 4. The Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Jeez, who picks up a snake by the tail? Anybody tried that? I've watched some programs on Discovery, and there's this guy in Durban that's got tattoos all over the place. He's a snake catcher extraordinaire, and he catches these snakes, and he will always catch a snake by the head, and he'll hold it by the head. You never pick up a snake by the tail because it's going to bite you. And if it's a poisonous one, you're going to suffer. So Moses reached out. First, he ran from the snake. But then he listens to God. So Moses reached out. He took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. There's a moment where Moses is wrestling with his fears. This is an object lesson here, friends, for Moses. And it's an object lesson for us. He picks up the snake. What God does is he gets Moses to confront his fear. He says, actually, I don't want you to grab that snake by the head. I want you to pick it up by the tail. You are most vulnerable when you pick up a snake by its tail. It's just, don't do it. You know, if God is going to use us to achieve his call and his purpose through our lives, we need to confront our fears. That's what he's doing with Moses. He knows that there's fear in his heart. He's getting Moses to confront his fears. We're going to have to stop running from our fears and allow God to help us overcome them so we could live and be the very people that he has created us and called us to be. And I think many people are self-disqualifying themselves, allowing their fears to rule them. Don't walk in the plan and purpose that God has for them. Don't live in the wonder of this relationship with Him, because my fear prevents me from entering into that. Now, how can God, our what ifs, how can I, our mentality holds us back from entering into that space of experiencing God and being used of Him. You know, friends, the first step to overcoming, like Moses, is to place your fear in God's hands. So when he picked up that snake by the tail, that's what he does, is he takes his fear, he places it in God's hand. God, you've said, you've asked me, I'm going to do that. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe in you as a righteous, holy, powerful God, and I'm going to put my life in your hands. I'm going to trust you. No more running, no more hiding, no more disqualifying myself. I'm going to actually surrender to you. That's what Moses does in that moment. The moment he threw that stick on the ground, friends, he took his fingerprints off it, and he placed that stick in God's hands. That's what he did. Maybe this morning, God's saying, you take your fingerprints off your life and put your life in my hands and see what I will do. Trust me. And giving it over to God, that stick, that common object becomes something supernatural. In God's hands, it's transformed. It's turned actually into the supernatural. And the very thing that God took that was common, that was ordinary, God took that thing and he turned it into something supernatural for his glory. And we see Moses standing before Pharaoh, the king of the Egyptians, and those 9 plagues as they're unleashed are all initiated by that stick. Who's in control of that stick? It's God the Father. God's saying, like that stick, it's just the stick. You say, well, my life is just the life. Actually, God's wanting to do something supernatural with each and every one of us. And so often we speak over our own life, oh, well, I'm just a, because we see ourselves through our eyes instead of actually saying, God, I'm going to just submit myself and throw myself at your mercy and allow you to do what you can do and what you want to do in me and through me. So he takes his fingerprints off it, and giving it over to God, it becomes something supernatural. Friends, that's the main point of the story, this little account. All God needs is a stick. All God needs is a stick. That's all Moses had to offer him. All God wants, friends, is our heart. He wants you. And sometimes we try and package ourselves and we box ourselves to be something, to be someone, a certain something. God's saying, actually, I want you. This morning maybe saying, I want you just as you are. And allow me to work out my power, my desires, my dreams for you, through you. Take off your shoes. Stop running. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Standing before a holy and righteous God who can do the most amazing things with us. Paul speaks about that. You know, when he, in Corinthians, he speaks about coming to preach. He says, I didn't come with any wise and eloquent words. What I came in God's power. It's a parallel scripture of what's happening here. He understands that he is who he is, what he is, because of the work of grace upon his life. And so in the context of our marriages, in the context of maybe a ministry call, maybe in the context of your business or your vocation, your job, your relationships, when we take off our shoes, when we take our fingerprints off those things and we hand them over to God, God anoints them and they become something very supernatural in his hands. Exodus chapter 4, verse 21. Can read with me. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. Here's a man, amazing, running, hiding from God in the desert, burning bush moment, God speaks to him, anoints him, actually cancels out everything that Moses disqualified himself in. He sets him up to stand before a king and to proclaim the power of his kingdom to him. supernatural is released. There's 9 plagues. We know the story is unleashed on Pharaoh and the Egyptians. They set in motion by Moses and Aaron extending a staff. And that staff, friends, represents the authority of God. It represents the power of God. When our lives are placed in God's hands, His authority and His power is at work in us and through us. It stands as a testimony. It has an impact. It has an influence on this world that we live in. All God needs is a stick. And we see Pharaoh relents and he lets him go. Here's the most amazing thing, is that God wants to use us on the vast stage of life. Each and every one. He wants to use us on the stage of life. Hold us up as a sign of His supernatural transforming glory. He's wanting to use us. Each one. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 18. Here's a parallel scripture in the New Testament. Jesus says, and He's speaking to us, He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In My name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Jesus is referring to the good news of the gospel. The saving, the redemptive power of God. That's what Jesus is referring to. You know, the saving, redemptive power of God was initiated on 2 sticks, the cross. Jesus nailed to the cross as a sacrifice, an atoning sacrifice. The death of Christ and the cross bought for humanity, bought for us, each one, reconciliation, relationship with God the Father. 2 sticks brought that for us, friends. God's redemptive plan for the world. Jesus upon the cross, nailed to the cross for our sin, brought us reconciliation with God the Father. It established peace between mankind and God. It empowered us, those who believe and have confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior, empowered us through the Holy Spirit to testify and to proclaim the kingdom of God. 2 sticks. And this morning, I just have a sense the Father is wanting us to have a fresh perspective of 2 sticks, the cross, the power of the cross, the redeeming work, the reconciling, empowering work of the cross. And not just to have a perspective of it, but to live in the freedom of it. And to live in the freedom of it, we need to take our shoes off. Stop running. Stop hiding. Press into the one whose grace is sufficient. And maybe we've had all of these excuses. Maybe it's been for months. Maybe it's been for years. Maybe it's been a decade. I don't know. But maybe this morning, God is saying, actually, no more excuses, sir, ma'am. This morning, take off your shoes. Stop hiding from Me. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. You can read with me. From verse 4 to 10. Because of His great love for us. That's how we start to read this morning. Because of His great love for us. You know, that God loved Moses enough not just to leave him in the desert, hiding, arrested him. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us. Listen to the word, because of his great love, because of his kindness. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Just want to emphasize verse 10. God's handiwork, created to do good works. So here we have Moses, just to recap, hiding in the desert with all of his guilt, with all of his shame, living with the knowledge that he is a murderer, that he has killed someone. 40 years, he's living this life isolated as a recluse, no relationship with God the Father. In fact, no real depth of relationship with anyone else. And God catches him in a moment through that burning bush. And he cancels out all of that guilt, all of that shame, all of that disgrace. He says, actually, Moses, and I'm sure Moses would have repented. I'm sure that Moses, in the company, in the presence of a holy, righteous God, the Bible actually did say he fell to the ground. A very similar account that happens in Joshua, when Joshua encounters Jesus. But he repents. And in that moment, God lifts him up and says, actually, my son, I'm going to use you now for my glory. 40 years, canceled. New life, new purpose, new call, new hope, new relationship. So maybe this morning, you might feel a bit like Moses. God saying, sir, ma'am, time to take the shoes off. Time to stop running. Time to stop hiding and to come to me. You know, it's interesting, Exodus chapter 4, verse 17. When God speaks to Moses, he says, take the staff in your hand so that you can perform the signs with it. That stick, he says, you're going to do amazing things with it. Exodus chapter 4, verse 20. Moses took his wife and his sons. He put them on a donkey. He started back to Egypt. And it's very interesting. That stick became something very different in God's hands. Here the word states, he took the staff of God in his hand. He took the staff of God in his hand. No longer was it a stick used to shepherd sheep and animals. What it becomes an object of supernatural power. And God is wanting to take your life and say, your life is not just an ordinary life. He says, when I've had my way in your heart, when my gospel has impacted your heart and your life, and you have been redeemed and reconciled, your life now becomes supernatural. Sir, ma'am. Now becomes more than just a life. Your life becomes someone that I can use for my glory. To go and represent my power, my transforming power to this world that we live in.